Roy,
what is it, Chris?
Before we start, June and I have clubbed together and bought you a present.
Well, you shouldn't have, really.
Yes, that's what I said.
Go on, open it.
Oh.
Oh, don't you like it?
The News Headlines Annual.
£7.99
from Robson Books.
Yes.
Thanks a lot.
Well, we thought it would come in useful.
Useful?
Yeah.
But look, it's full of smut, innuendo, and really old jokes that everyone's heard before.
Not to mention loads of breaking wind jokes.
So it's perfect, isn't it?
Is it? For what?
Well, if we stick in a reference to Christmas and read it out now.
Of course, we've got ourselves a show.
Seasonal news is the News Headlines Bumper Christmas Annual, featuring Roy Hudd, June Whitfield and Chris Emmett, with Peter Morse and the Headliners.
Thank you very much indeed, folks, and welcome to the show. Yes, the show that does for Christmas what the Chancellor does for pensioners. This Christmas sees a record number of people leaving our shores. Yes, some people would do anything to avoid tipping the bin men, weren't they? Another Christmas, and some bookies were giving odds of 50 to 1 on it being a white one this year. Unless you're Paul Merson, in which case it's evens. And Britain's weathermen say this autumn has been the warmest on record. It's good to know there's something to spoil Christmas for the British gas bosses, isn't there? Meanwhile, things are so gloomy in number 10, I see the turkey is sticking his head in the oven. The Tory vice chairman, Patrick Nicholls, resigned after he was insulting and offensive to the Germans and the French. Still, he can always come and write for us, can't he? Now, Labour's got Tony Blair, eh? The Colgate Commissar. He's telling us that a Labour government is the only answer. If that's the answer, it must have been a bloody silly question. Late in the year, some Tory MPs had the whip withdrawn. They'll have to make do with the kinky boots and the leather slipper. Well, I see that a cake company has brought out the Alan Clark mince pies. Yes, they're very good, 6 in the pack, so there's enough to give one to everybody in the family. And I hear that David Meller got a Cabbage Patch doll for Christmas. Wasn't a present, one of his girlfriends gave birth to it, you know. Now, Headlines can at last reveal how top director's salaries are worked out. They get a pound for everyone they lay off, you know. More late news. Yes, thank you very much. The gas man on the second row, thank you. The Americans introduced a Rolling Stones credit card, but you can't use it to get satisfaction from honky-tonk women. One for the teenagers there. Now, did you hear that Aussie art dealers have got a football for Christmas? He took it back, though. It didn't have any instructions with it. And I see they've announced an opening of special prisons for the elderly. That's right, they're called council tower blocks, you know. This Christmas, Chris is in Panto at Watford, June's at Wimbledon, and I'm at Sadler's Wells. Not a joke, it's just a blatant plug, really. Right? And what about that bus conductress who offered sex to her passengers? But she would keep asking me if I hadn't got anything smaller. It was frightening. I've never had those sort of complaints myself, but there we are. What about that business where you can ring up to get the number of the last person who called you, eh? It means now you can call a double-glazing salesman back just when he's sitting down to dinner, can't you?
Get-togethers for the cabinet.
Oh, yes, Norma. There's nothing like running your own party.
Well, you don't often get the chance, do you, beloved? Oh, what why don't you put a record on and we can have a dance?
Oh, all right. They're good, these sound effects records, aren't they? You could almost believe some guests had turned up.
Oh, never mind, dearest. It's still early. I'm sure someone will come.
Yes, I should have made it a matter of confidence, no doubt about it.
What are you going to put on? Not one of your steam engine records again?
No, Norma. I've got a brand new record, hot off the presses. Tory Party Hits.
Ooh.
Yes, there's Jonathan Aitken singing Putting on the Ritz. Yes. Oh, someone did turn up. How about... Virginia Bottomley, every little thing she does is tragic. Michael Howard, and Lock Them Up Before I Go-Go. David Mellow.
Great Balls of Fire.
How did you know?
Just a wild guess, dearest. And what are you singing?
Oh, well, that's the trouble. I couldn't think of anything.
I who have nothing.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, listen, beloved. What did I tell you? Our first guest.
Our first guest.
Oh, Mr. Clark. How nice to see you.
Oh, bugger, I've come into the wrong house again, haven't I?
Evening, Kenneth.
Some of these. 10 and 11 look the same when you've had a few. Don't worry, I'll let myself out.
Oh, no, you must stay.
Why, what have I done this time?
Have some of Norma's fruit cup. She's laced it with neat Vimto, you know.
Well, the fact is, PM, I've been invited to another party.
Oh?
Yes. Mikey Portileone's having a bit of a bash.
Oh, well, when isn't he?
Oh, couldn't you give it a miss?
Not bloody likely. The invitation came on a horse's head.
Oh, I see. Do you think there'll be, many people there?
Well, he said he needed at least 34.
34? What an odd number.
Yeah, I think you'll find it's an even number, PM. Mm-hmm. Trust me, I'm a chancellor.
Hold a minute. Isn't 34 the number he needs to challenge your leadership, beloved?
Is it? Must be off.
Oh, Clark, come back. Clark, you traitor! Oh, well, that's it. We might as well put the twiglets back in the Tupperware and go to bed.
Oh, John, I'm so sorry.
Yes. You'd think just one person would come to my party, wouldn't you? One person who respects my leadership. One person who cares enough. Norma, will you stop playing the piano when I'm talking to you?
Sorry.
Well, what I need is a loyal lieutenant. Basically, someone too stupid to have ambitions of his own.
Hello, Prime Minister. Hello, Mrs. Prime Minister.
Ah, Jeremy Hanley.
Oh, no, he's been nice to me again. Well, fiendish plan, has he got up his sleeve this time?
Come and sit over here, old man.
Well, you must think I'm really stupid.
Yes.
Well, I'm not falling for that old whoopee cushion trick again.
No tricks today, Hanley, I promise. Cover Twiglet.
Oh, thank you, my captain. Take Twiglet. Places it, man. Bites on end. Ew! You rotten swine, it's covered in pepper.
Every time. Never mind, Hanley, drink this water.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, John, that isn't water.
Isn't it? Oh, dear.
It's lighter fuel.
Cigar, Jeremy?
Swan, you've fitted me again.
Wishful thinking.
I don't have to be made a fool of by you.
True.
Gets in huff and exits dramatically.
No. Don't go, Handy, please. Here, have another twiglet.
I don't want your rotten twiglets. I only dropped in on my way to Heseltine's, and he's got cheesy what's-its.
I've heard.
50 years in the business just to come out with lines like that.
Here! Yes, my captain!
I started doing him as well. Has your time's having a party too?
Yes, just him and a few close friends.
How many,
close friends?
34, I think.
Oh, no! Oh, dear, what a Christmas, eh? Everyone's deserting me and setting up their own parties.
Oh, never mind, dear heart. Yours is the nicest.
Yes, I know, but I wanted a big party with all my friends.
Oh, don't worry, beloved. Aren't you always telling me size isn't important?
Yeah. There's another one, you see. She's got a million.
John?
Yes?
I've just thought of a brilliant idea.
Oh, what's that, my angel?
A song you could sing on the party hits record.
Oh, yes, and what's that?
Go Now.
Oh, and have you heard that Christmas could be the next tradition to be swept away by the tide of political correctness? Headlines, fearful for its yuletide pleasures, flew to Santa's workshop to see if this could be the nightmare before Christmas. Ho, ho, ho! 'Tis Christmas Eve and time to deliver sackloads of toys to all the boys and girls across the land. Ho, ho, ho!
Claus? Mr. S. Claus?
Yes?
We are from the local council. I'm Mrs. Joykill.
And I'm her assistant, Noah Fun.
Oh. Oh, please, call me Father Christmas.
No, no, it's sexist and patronising. From now on, you'll be known as the nominally designated, non-threatening, patriarchal representative of one religion's particular response to a December-based calendar event.
And not a wind-breaking joke in there, did you? But I'm the jolly fat man.
Sorry, I think you'll find that you're the alternatively shaped embodiment of a jocular disposition.
Anything else?
Yes, there is. You can stop all that ho-ho-ho business for a start.
My jovial laugh? What for?
It is derogatory to the Ho family of Peking.
The Chinese don't celebrate Christmas.
Hardly surprising, is it?
Now, about your workforce.
Ah, my elves and dwarves.
No, the not necessarily upwardly proportioned individuals.
Oh. But they're supposed to be small.
Not anymore. They'll have to go.
Look, so what are you going to leave me of the old Christmas traditions? I suppose you won't even let me pull a cracker.
Absolutely not.
So, no chance of stuffing a bird, then?
No. Turkeys have a right to enjoy Christmas, too.
Oh, leave it out. This is madness. There must be some way of overruling this.
Well, I'm afraid there's nothing in the policy document relating to it.
So it's true, then?
What?
There is no sanity clause.
Christmas 1935.
But you must see that you're taking all the fun out of Christmas Day with your badly-timed thoughts and your po-faced sermonizing.
So what's wrong with that?
That's the Queen's job. The toughest belly wishbone I ever pulled. Ah, Lilibet, what have we got there?
A most interesting card from Mr. Yeltsin.
Really?
Yes, listen. Dear Comrade Queen, your Russian trip made Boris go hurrah, hip, hip.
Ah.
Through all of Moscow, you're sadly missed, so I'm in the Kremlin getting... Quite make out the last word. We must thank him for his most generous present. Margaret insisted I let her have the crate of mineral water.
Mineral water? That was confounded vodka. Oh, no wonder the Christmas pud flared up when she tried to blow it out. Oh, I... Could do with her breathing on the fire now, though. That bally Yule log's as chilly as Diana at a family reunion. Let's stir the blasted thing up. Where's that poker? There we are.
Oh! Oh!
Right between the lallies.
Oh! Oh, Mumsy, Pops, fantabulosa festive season to you.
Edward! What are you doing up the blasted chimney? And where did you get that confounded red coat? Been going down the sentry's box again, have you?
You like it, Pops? I'm playing St. Nick.
Yeah, looks more like Anna Nick to me, boy.
I'm going to try and slip a little something into Sophie's stocking.
Oh.
What do you think she'll say?
About time, probably. Oh, dear, look out.
Love and peace on the side to all men, man. Solstice felicitations, one and all.
Oh, Charles, how pleasant. Is that mistletoe for us?
Or just something to talk to on the journey over, is it? What's that in your pocket, boy? Another blasted card? Let's see, boy, come on.
Ooh,
looks expensive.
Heavy bread sauce, man.
Yes, yes, yes. Tis the hour for season's greeting and memories of pleasures fleeting. Beneath the tree, inside the stable, hot steaming nibbles on the table. In all these places I claimed we'd do it, a certain princess and James Hewitt.
Oh, what an interesting picture.
Yes, looks like two sprouts and a chipolata. Edward. I know you're going to hate doing this, Edward, but throw it on the fire.
Oh, very well.
Oh, and Charles, dear,
yes.
Do mind the tree. Ooh. Your father was up all night hanging those glass things on it.
There's a lot of baubles.
Don't contradict your mother, boy. We won't invite you round on the 31st.
Actually, one thought one might go abroad for Halmini.
Oh, so you'll be having year-end away, I see. No, No blasted change there, then, is it? Oh, now, are we all here?
No. Where's Mummy?
Oh, I can't think. I don't know. There's no pink, mauve and crumpled paper on the floor. Edward.
Oh, yeah, what?
It may be Christmas, but save the mints for the pies, boy, will you, for goodness? Last time I saw a sack of wobble like that, Sarah was wearing it as an evening dress. Now, let's see what you've got in there, anyway.
Oh, God, lovely me. What a voice, Lilibet, and a very Terry Christian to one and all.
Oh, Grandpa Lone, how jolly to Varda Eureka again.
Yes. Didn't think you'd miss Christmas.
Oh, no, Philopides. That magic moment when you hear the first carol singers and everyone goes very still and quiet. So they can pretend to be out. Well, then on Boxing Day, we used to go hunting.
Oh, stags, foxes?
Alka-Seltzer, dear. Oh, especially if we'd been on the umpire sherry. Anyways, time for presents. Here you are, Chazza.
Oh, gosh, thank you. A fountain pen and some Wedgwood.
Yes, well, dear, they said you was partial to a Parker and Bowles. Lilibet, Phyllis Ann, this envelope's for you and anyone else.
Oh.
It's what we're going to need if next year turns out anything like this one.
Like this one? Oh, you mean with those bounders Hewitt, Dimbleby and Pasternak?
Yes, dear. It's a royal family-sized pack of book tokens.
No!
We present a fable for Christmas, The Nomad.
Once upon a time, there was a little boy who looked out of his window at the thickest and coldest coat of political snow he had ever seen, and decided that he would go out and make a new Labour Party leader. He made him in his early 40s, with shiny shoes, nice brown hair, and a three-piece suit. As the little boy went to bed, he wished with all his might that the new party leader could do, or even say, something. And as midnight struck, the new party leader seemed to come to life, though he still had no voice at all. He took the little boy on a magical flight of fancy that he would never forget.
I'm walking with the Blair. Probably like pigs we fly. There's castles in the air and flies are in the sky. He never said a word.
He ran eagerly to the door, but his new party leader had melted away. And the only thing left was a nice red tie. Oh, dear. These Christmas house calls certainly make the end of your stethoscope numb, I tell you. Still, this is my last call tonight. Quick visit, and I'll be back home. Good Lord. Very unusual knocker. I wonder which of my patients lives here.
Evening, Doctor.
Mr. Friggins, I might have known.
Oh, Doctor, allow me to extend...
Here it comes.
...my heartiest seasonal greeting.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Friggins. Now, what do you want to see me about, as if I needed to ask?
Oh, you'll have to come inside for that. I can't show you here.
Oh, dear. That's better. Nice and warm in here with that roaring log fire.
Why?
Yes, I bet you'll be roasting your chestnuts in front of that over the festive season, won't you?
As always, Doctor.
As always, yes.
But I don't think this season will be very festive, not with my trouble.
Oh, well, what seems to be the matter?
Well, Doctor, the wife and I were stirring the pudding last night.
Oh, yes. Go on, yes.
And when I woke up this morning, this had happened.
Well, that is astonishing, isn't it? It's steaming, isn't it? Am I right?
That's right.
Yes.
Getting bigger by the minute.
It seems to be composed entirely of fruit.
Yes. Currants, sultanas, raisins, they're everywhere.
Plums?
I told you, everywhere.
Yes. Well, may I have a second helping? Absolutely incredible. Tell me, is it painful?
Only if the wife starts flaming it in brandy.
Yes. Well, I thought I'd seen everything.
Well, you have as far as I'm concerned, Doctor.
Mr. Frick, after years of ridiculous complaints, you and that Christmas pudding have made medical history.
I have? Is it serious, then?
Serious? It's unheard of. I'm prescribing you this pregnancy testing kit.
For me, Doctor? But why?
Well, it's obvious, Mr. Friggins. You're up the duff. And one of the most shocking stories of the year was about girls finally being allowed into Eton Public School. Good God, they'll be letting the middle classes in next, won't they? Something like that would never have happened during Tom Brown's school days. Or would it? Hudlines went back in time to see if the young toffs had done enough prep to cope with the arrival of young toffettes. Now, boys, before we break up for Christmas, I sadly find myself enforced to address you on the subject of discipline.
Oh, hurrah. Good old headmaster.
Silence, Flashman. Another outburst like that and it'll be a stiff birching for you.
Oh, hurrah. Good old headmaster.
Thank you, Flashman. I'm told a certain boy has made late-night visits to the local village. That boy was you, Tom Brown.
Sir? Me, sir? Oh, no, sir. It was Flashman, sir.
That's a lie, sir. I'm always in bed early enjoying some hot steaming Horlicks.
I'm having a bedtime drink, sir. Yeah,
yeah. Tom Brown, you were seen buying cakes and biscuits. What have you to say?
They weren't for me, sir. Fletchman made me buy them. He said if I didn't, he'd splash ink all over my little dickie, sir.
Yes. And his ties must be worn at all times. That is bullying of the very worst kind, Fletchman. Those biscuits and cakes were for you, eh?
Oh, really, sir? You know how it is when you fancy a little tuck after the lights out.
Yes, I do, yes. Well, this lawlessness will cease forthwith. Next term, I'm ensuring that a cleaner, purer atmosphere will pervade the school.
Oh, sir, you mean no more chemistry lessons?
No problem. I mean we're going to admit girls.
Girls, eh? Woof, woof. Oh. Put me down for extra biology straight away, sir.
Oh, but, sir, won't girls change the whole nature of the school, sir? I mean, are girls good at sports and games, sir?
All the girls I know have been really good
sports.
Yes,
thank you very much. Young Brown has raised an interesting point.
As he were.
Yes, sir. In order to make our new girl pupils feel at home, we'll be switching the whole curriculum over to girls' subjects, sports included.
Oh, sir, that's not fair. I was just getting ready to enter the two-man bob.
Bad luck, Flashman. I've just expelled him. And... but the good news is the first batch of girls will be here this afternoon.
But won't the higher academic standards attained by the girls cause us all sorts of problems, sir?
Don't worry, young Brown. I'm sure that if you're keen enough, you'll soon catch up with them. Yes. They may be quite advanced, thank you, Flashman. But I'm sure if you apply yourself with suitable rigor, you'll get a result. Well, boys, off you go and prepare. Yes, believe me, this new co-education is a wonderful thing. Just the ticket to stop you boys falling into disreputable ways and foul habits.
By the way, Headmaster, who are these girls who are going to give us such lessons in manners and decorum?
Oh, a minor public school for girls. I'd not heard of them before. Ah, here's the name. Yes, St. Trillium's.
Now, which one of you is the Headmaster? And finally... the Headlines predictions for 1995.
Football authorities are shocked by further drug revelations.
Apparently for the last 28 years, the England team have been on Mogadon.
Carlton Television wins a comedy award for one of its programs.
Unfortunately, it's a drama.
David Mellor has said in the new year he'll give up sex and smoking.
Apparently he was a 20-a-day man, and he used to smoke a lot as well, you know.
Another leading Tory MP will have the whip removed.
Only this time it's under a general anaesthetic. Sort of picture joke, really, that, isn't it?
An ambitious businessman hopes that in 1995 he'll be able to open the world's first restaurant for cannibals.
Yes, meals will be £50 a head, but arms and legs will be extra.
John Major will continue his drive against unemployment.
So I just sign here, do I, and come back in a fortnight, I see.
The victorious England cricket team returned to Britain with the Ashes after completely annihilating the Aussies.
Sorry, I was waiting for Paul McKenna to come on and snap his fingers there.
Social workers continue trying to reform a man who stole 70 shopping trolleys.
But they're still having trouble making him go straight.
A record number of new royal biographies will be printed in 1995.
But there's still time to get your copy of the Headlines Annual, price $7.99 from all good bookshops.
The United States finally sends troops to Bosnia.
Well, it's nice to see the war's nearly over, isn't it, eh?
And finally, in 1995, Linford Christie makes a pop record.
Yes, it's a new version of Rob Harris's Jake the Peg.
That's the end of the Headlines predictions for 1995.
But I'll be back next year unless the BBC can't afford to pay the VAT on its heating bills. Ta-da, below!
That was the News Hudlines Bumper Christmas Annual, starring Roy Hudd, Chris Emmett and June Whitfield, with Peter Moss and the Hudliners. The announcer was Richard Clegg. Sketches were by Mike Coleman, Michael Dines, Jed Parsons, Tony Hare, Peter Hickey, Richard Stoneman and Mark Brissenden, Alex Japanik, Nick R. Thomas, D.A. Barham, Rob Colley and Mark Griffiths, and Chris Williams, with songs by Richard Quick and Jeremy Brown. Additional lines by Robert Lindford, Dave Dixon, Stuart Curry, Jerry Goddard, Malcolm Needs, Martin Seymour, Phil Rosen, Glenn Mitchell, Les Rowley and Brian Sykes.
All of who are queuing up to get out from under the mistletoe of our producer, Phil Bowker.